So I'm going to use this microphone. Are y'all happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. So I've been reading in Ezekiel lately, and Ezekiel, by the way, that's a tough one to swallow. That's a tough one to just dive into and really chew on. But Ezekiel talks a lot about judgment, and it talks about judgment that's pronounced on all of these nations. And so you read through them and you think, man, there's this God that is just, whoa, you know, he's a fierce God and a powerful God and all of these weird attributes that are, you know, you see the power of God. You think, man, he's ticked. And at the end of it, you usually see that he pronounces, he says, he does this judgment. And then at the end, he goes, and then they will know that I am Lord. And then, so like he'll do a judgment on Egypt, for example. And that's where I'm at. So it just stuck in my mind. And he talks about all this judgment on Egypt. And then it's, at the end of it, then they will know that I am Lord. They didn't say, then they will know that I am their God. He only does that with the Israelites in the Old Testament. But he says, then they will know that I am Lord. And it's in all capital letters, and it usually means Yahweh or Jehovah. You've heard of Jehovah, right? Or Yahweh. So they're trying to preserve the name here and not say the name because it's so sacred. And so they use the word Lord. But this, what he's saying is then they will know that I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. They will know that I am the God who created the heavens, the God who created the earth, the God who created all things. I am that God. There are many attributes to Yahweh, to Jehovah. One of them, I know when Moses was in the wilderness with the Israelites and they were fighting against the Amalekites. And do you guys remember this story? Every time Moses had his staff and every time he'd raise his staff, the Israelites would win, but every time his arms got tired and his staff began to lower, then the Israelites would begin to lose. And so I think it was Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, went, and they were holding his arms up high so that Israel could win. Well, at the end of it all, Moses says, the Lord, Yahweh, is my banner. And so that's one of the things that I know. So Yahweh, I think it's called Yahweh Nisi. And then there's Yahweh Rohe, the Lord is my shepherd. Then you can go through all of the lists of all of these different attributes of who God is. But then there's this one attribute that we find out later on in the New Testament. And it's an attribute that many of the people up until that point didn't really focus on it. And they didn't really recognize it. And that is Abba. Say Abba. Abba, which means father. Now, if you were to ask a good Jewish person of the day in Jesus' time who their Abba was, who their father was, they would either give you their biological father's name, or they would probably tell you Abraham. Abraham is the father, because God made a covenant and a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many people. He would be and he would have descendants as numerous as the stars and the sand and all of those things. So Abba, this is a new concept. The God that made the heavens and the earth is my Abba. He's my father. The God that destroyed nations and rulers for their iniquities, he's my Abba. He's my daddy. The unfathomable, the indescribable, the incomprehensible God that has no beginning and has no end, he is my Abba. Well, what about Yahweh? What about this guy? If a Jewish person would recognize that Abraham is his father, what about Yahweh? So if we say, and this is how they took it back then, because you know Jesus said, I do what I see my father doing, right? And so if you said God is your father, if you said that Yahweh is your father, you were actually saying that you were like him. And so it was kind of blasphemous in that day to say that God was your father. And yet Jesus teaches his disciples. And when his disciples come to him and they say, teach us how to pray the way that you pray. And he says, first and foremost, Abba. Abba. Abba, your name is holy, and may it ever be holy. Abba. The Jewish infant boy, is he starting to make noises? You know how little kids, they get to that certain point where they just start making noises and they're trying so hard to talk. And they start making those cute little noises. A Jewish infant boy, especially, will start to, when he starts to make noises, he will start to go, ah, ba, 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 ba. In America, a little infant boy, when he starts to make noises, do you know what he starts to say? Da, 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 da. Moms are going, son of a. Da, 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 calling out to dada. Yeah, and that's important because we are called to be that childlike. Listen, pay attention to infants. Next time you see a little infant that's starting to make noise, just pay attention and see what they're doing. Ah, bah, 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 or da, 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 da. That, 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 that. And here's the deal. They're not dads, granddads, if you're out there. Sobering fact, they're likely not calling to you. But what they will do is they will recognize you as their dad, their Abba, and they will see through, with your help, they will see how a relationship with their true Abba is supposed to be. That's what they're really calling out for. The Abba. Abba. Dada. When you're young and innocent, Abba means the world to you. You can trip and fall, and who do you run to? Mom. You run to Dad. Well, some do. You can say anything to Abba. You can do anything. And in fact, little children often test the waters, don't they? Actually, big children often test the waters too, if we really think about that. And he will always be your Abba. No matter what, he will always be your daddy. Dad, you know this, right? You have kids that they test the waters. They do all sorts of stupid things, and you go, what in the world? Take after their mom. But no matter what they do, they are still your child, aren't they? And nothing can change the fact that you are their dad. You're their Abba. And that's what God is for us. He is our Abba. It kind of reminds me of the prodigal son. You know, as Christians, I think we often think that the prodigal son is a story of a person who went out and he did all these stupid things and then finally got saved and came home. But the fact was, he was already a son when he went out. Do you catch that? He was already in the family when he went out and did the stupid stuff. He went out, he took his inheritance of his father, went out and squandered it, and yet came to a point where he was so humbled and in humility that he came back to his father. He was already a son. And there is nothing that you can do as a son or daughter to the Most High that will keep you from being a son or a daughter to the Most High. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, Abba, I belong to you. Say it again. Abba, I belong to you. Okay, no matter what, think about all the stupid things you have done. Think about the fact that you're tomorrow probably are going to do some stupid stuff. Say something, put your foot in your mouth, that kind of a thing. Think about all those things, and now say it again. Abba, I belong to you. I belong to you. That's important. So here's what, there was a story in the New Testament where the people were trying to bring their children to Jesus because they wanted Jesus to bless the children. And the disciples were rebuking them, pushing them away. Back then, by the way, guys, you know, we often think children were recognized as innocent and all those things. Children were actually just property back in it. They were nothing. And so when these people were trying to bring their kids to Jesus to have them blessed. The disciples were rebuking them. And go, Jesus got bigger, better things to do. And yet here's what happened. He says, permit the children to come to me. Let them come to me. This is in Mark 10. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You hear this. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. And he took them in his arms, and he began blessing them and laying his hands on them. And so he taught his disciples to pray, Abba, Abba in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, what he was saying in that moment, he is your Abba, and you need to begin to receive the kingdom as his child, like a little child. And that can come to you on earth as it is in heaven. Abba. Abba, you are most high. Abba, you are the, your name is holy. You are my daddy. And ain't nobody can come up against my daddy. How many of you, your dad was your hero? That's got to hurt. I'm sorry. He just, funny back there. How many of you, your dad could do no wrong in your eyes? How many of you, your dad could kick somebody else's dad's rear end? How many of you saw your dad kick somebody else's dad's rear end? Yeah, I've been there too. Isn't that funny? But yeah, it is so, Abba, Daddy, there ain't nobody like you. Nobody could come close to you. Your name is holy. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what's sad, though, is that many of us today don't know what that looks like. Many of us today, we've never had a dad relationship that could show us exactly what the Father in heaven is supposed to be like to us, to our to us as a child. What does it look like to be a child of somebody who really truly loves us? What does it look like to be a child of somebody who's got our back in every single situation? We don't often know that, do we? And I think that's sad. And so we spend our lives, even in our grown-up lives, I think we spend it with God trying to get to us and go, hey, this is what it looks like. This is exactly what it looks like. So I feel like the Lord lately has been dealing with me in the way of fear. And so I called this thing Fear Faith. And, you know, do I want to do this yet? Let me say this first. I am the king of what if. Do I have any what if people out there?
I'll challenge you.
Yeah. We could do 1,000 what ifs and go round and round and round and round. I am the king of what ifs. I get into a situation and I'm going, well, what if this happens? Or how many of you get into a situation and you go, if I do this, I just know that this is going to happen over here. If I do this, I know that this person over here is going to say something. If I do this, I know that, and you could just go on and on and on. I do that too. What if? I want to say this to you, because I could put a whole series, I think I could probably preach all year on fear and in the different aspects of fear. But fear, and I was thinking about that, and you know, fear has one common answer for us as believers. Fear has one common answer, and that is this: the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Remember, so even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So the Lord is my shepherd. So if you tune me out the rest of this message, just know that the answer to fear is the Lord is my shepherd. So what is fear? Let's dive into this. What is fear? And I have one word. If I could do one word that would describe fear, it would be this. Fear is a form of faith. Show. Let me see your what ifs again. Show me your hands, your what ifs. So how many of you will refuse to do a situation or refuse to do something or say something because you have already mapped it out in your brain what's going to happen? What if? That's faith, isn't it not? Here's what the Bible says about faith. Faith, this is in Hebrews 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. How many of you, again, will not do a situation or not say something because you have already got it mapped out in your head? Isn't that a form of faith? By biblical definition, is that not a form of faith? It is. And so fear is faith. Fear is believing what you cannot see. If I just do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, I just know she's going to say this. Or I just know that he's going to do this. Or I just know. Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? Both fear and faith involve what if. Fear says, what if something goes wrong? While faith says, what if something goes right? Faith is rooted in love. Fear is rooted in itself. Fear has no foundation whatsoever, but faith has a foundation of love. Okay? So faith is rooted in love. Experience flavors fear, while experience flavors faith. Let me give you some examples. How many of you will inevitably do a what if because guess what? It's been done before to you. It happened before. It's going to happen again. It's just every time I do this, this is what's going to happen. So I'm just not going to do it anymore. Or I'm just not going to say it because every time I say it to people, that I just they always just come back on me, or they always just on and on and on and on. Right? Experience leads us to fear. But experience also leads us to faith. If you were in the wilderness when the Israelites were leaving Egypt and you saw the Red Sea part, you could walk through on land, and yet then God closes it up for the army that was against you to come in and be drowned. Wouldn't that be experience for faith? How many of you had experience that should lead you to have faith in God? How many of you have been saved in some situations that you go, oh my Lord, I should not have been saved in that situation, right? And yet we still have fear, don't we? That fear just likes to come in and it likes to try and override the faith. Experience flavors fear, while experience flavors faith. Faith flourishes in wisdom. Fear flourishes in logic. So we get what does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord always. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Why? Because logic will inevitably lead you to fear. And faith flourishes in wisdom. Faith flourishes in the foolishness of God, and the foolishness of God is wisdom. By the way, I should say this to you, that the Bible says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But I want to say that that is a different kind of fear. And I think I would love to do a whole sermon on that, because I think it goes along with the idea that we recognize God is our Abba. He's our Father. And in that, we should have a healthy, different kind of fear for him. So I don't want to say that without saying, I don't want to talk about fear without saying that first to you also. So I was driving around, this was a week ago, this past Thursday, and I was going for a little drive, and I took some back roads, and I got down this one back. How many of you have ever seen a barred owl? Not a barn owl, but a barred owl. Anybody? A barred owl is, it's big. It's probably fish story. Not much to look at as far as color goes. It's kind of different colors of brown because it blends into the woods, right? That's where it hangs out. But if you ever look at a barred owl, they have some of the most mysterious eyes. Like you could look and they're so dark. Almost it's kind of haunting in a way. If you ever, you should Google it sometime. A barred owl, B-A-R-R-E-D, barred owl. They have these weird, mysterious, and haunting eyes. Anyway, I was driving down this back road, and one flew out in front of me. And I'm like, I thought it was a hawk at first, but one flew out in front of me, and I'm like, wow, dang. Usually when I see a hawk, or excuse me, usually when I see an owl, I really feel like sometimes the Lord's going, you're about to learn something here. You're about to be schooled. Owls kind of, you know, when you think of an owl, do you ever think of wisdom? You think of like being schooled or, you know, owl. What is it? Was it like Sword of the Stone or something like that? Or the owls, they always look like they're book smart. And I don't know. It's just something that works for me. Anyway, God, it's like God's going, you're about to be schooled. So I'm driving around and I'm praying. And then, you know, I'm starting to be silent. I get down the road after seeing that owl. And it's like God just said to me, why do you pray watered down prayers? What's the big deal about praying watered down prayers? You know what my first two words were? What if, God, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? And he's going, but if you're wrong, Jason, I'll show you. But what if you're right? What if you're right? I think we hold back so much in life. I think we hold back in our prayers so much in life because we are afraid to be wrong. We are afraid we don't know enough about God's will. And God's going, I know infinitely more than you do. And if I've put something in your heart, maybe you ought to pray for it. Because if I put something in your heart, there is something that you need to understand. I've got it. And I know infinitely more than you could ever know because I have examined hearts in this situation. I know the future. I know the present. I know the past. And so when you pray, maybe you need to stop praying these watered down. Well, if it's in your will, do this. If it's in your will, do this. And he's going, no, you pray it. Pray it as if you know it's in my will, that you need it, that you want it, or that it's supposed to happen. It's like when we pray for healing for somebody, you need to pray as though it is in his will. Do you think God would have it in his will not to heal people? Do you think God would say, I just really do not like that person over there, and I'm just going to really, you know, dive in deeper? Do you think that that's the case? You need to pray, regardless what happens, you need to pray as if you know, as if you believe, as if you are truly convicted in your heart and in your mind that this is his will. And guess what? If you're wrong, he's willing to show you. Because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I don't care where I'm at in life. I don't care where he's leading me. If I go and I'm in the darkest place possible and I'm trying to get to the light and I'm going, well, this is the way I think I ought to go. And you know, whether I can see it or not, the Lord's walking right beside me and he's walking with me. And if I start to go this way, or if I start to go this way, the Lord goes and bumps me right back on path. Or if I start to go this way, it's like the Lord will come up and go. Or sometimes the Lord just goes, oh, well, this is going to be fun. Let's just watch what happens. Because inevitably he knows. He has a deeper understanding than we could ever possibly imagine because he knows. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your future. He knows your past. He knows your present. And he can lead you, and he will, and he wants to because he is your, what's the word? Abba. He's your Abba. The reason he is your shepherd, because he is your Abba. Listen, how many of you ever read Daniel, the book of Daniel? Okay, here's what's happening. Daniel's in exile, and he gets to the point, it's like 69 years into exile, and he's read Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says there's supposed to be 70 years. And so Daniel knows, hey, time is coming up. But he knows 2 Chronicles too. Also, he knows 2 Chronicles also, and 2 Chronicles says that if my people would render themselves to me, right? If they would repent, turn from their wicked ways, then I will come and I will heal their land. So he knows all of these things. And so Daniel gets on his knees by chapter 9. He gets on his knees and he begins to pray. Now, what if Daniel would have said, well, I may be wrong in doing this. Or what if Daniel would have said, maybe I'm not the one that's supposed to pray for the people of Israel. Maybe I'm not the one that's supposed to repent for me and for the people of Israel. What if he would have said that? What if Daniel would have said, well, Lord, if it's in your will, please forgive us. It is in his will. It is in his will that if you repent, that he would forgive you. It is in his will that he would heal you. It is in his will that he would restore you. It is in his will that he would prosper you. I'm not talking about, you know, give you all kinds of money and whatever car you want and all that stuff. If that's what God wants to do, so be it. But I'm talking about truly prosper you, truly provide for you, and truly so that you would know and that people would know around you that he is Lord. He is Yahweh. He is Abba. He is my Abba. And as his child, he's got me. Ain't nobody can come up against my daddy. And my daddy loves me. I don't have to prove much to my daddy, because if I try to prove much to my daddy, it doesn't work out so hot. He loves me. He's knocked out about me. And he's knocked out about you too, because he's your Abba. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we got to the staff meeting that Thursday that I was driving around. And we're reading a book. I recommend it highly. It's called The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. And reading the book and the chapter that we're on, he references 1 John 4:18. Now, mind you, God has already been dealing with me about fear. Like, you need to just stop doing the watered down prayers. If you are wrong, I'll show you, but what if you're right? So doing all that, and I get, and I'm reading this, you all know what 1 John 4:18 says? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out, because it involves punishment, and the one who is not perfected in love. And you know what he was saying? Come, be you and come boldly to the throne. Because I am your daddy and I love you. And I want you to know that I love you. How many of you, look, okay, your mom's baking cookies for a bake sale, right? And she's got a whole batch out and she's letting them cool for a little bit. And you walk up to your mom and you go, Mom, can I have a cookie? And your mom goes, honey, they're for the bake sale. Oh, but Mom, you can't bake cookies like that and expect me not to want one. And so you go back and forth a little bit, and 9 times out of 10, does Mom relent? Mom gives you a cookie, right? Here's a little news flash. Your mom already knew that you were going to ask for that cookie. She ain't dumb enough to know that she can bake cookies without you asking, right? She's not that naive. She already knew. Your Father in heaven is infinitely more knowledgeable than your mama. No offense about your mom. I'm not trying to be mad or mean to your mom. But your daddy in heaven is infinitely more knowledgeable. He knows exactly what's on your heart. He knows exactly what's on your mind. It's time to go boldly to the throne and pray for it. It's time to go boldly to the throne and not be in fear, but be in faith. Walk in faith, because perfect love casts out fear. And you should know that fear involves punishment. But if you are perfected in love, there is no punishment for you who are perfected in love. You're going to the Lord and you're saying, it's on my heart. This is what I believe. I am praying for Jim Grimsley to be healed, because I know that's his will. Amen. I know that's his will. I'm praying for other people to be healed. I'm praying for this COVID thing to go away, because this COVID thing is not in his will. I can stand firm in that. I'm going to stand firm in that faith. And I want to come boldly, and I would encourage you to come boldly before the throne and go, This is my conviction in my heart. This is what I believe. If I'm wrong, you can show me, Lord. But I am boldly coming in. I'm boldly asking, can I have the cookie? Can I please have a cookie? That cookie smells really good. Can I have ice cream with it, please? Can we put whipped cream on it? Don't lie. You guys know that's how you pray. Well, if the Lord's going to give me this. Well, that's how you go to your parents, too. Well, if they'll give me this, then they're certainly going to give me this, too, right? And you just keep testing the waters a little bit more, and you keep pushing just a little bit more because you think maybe my parents or my mom or my dad will give me this or my dad. And so you keep testing the waters. That's what God wants you to do because he wants you to keep seeking. The Bible says keep seeking. The Bible says keep knocking. And the Bible says keep asking. And guess what? It will happen. It will be given unto you. What it says. You can hold God to his word because the Lord is your shepherd and the Lord is your Abba. You guys remember the movie Back to the Future? You guys remember all three Back to the Futures? Inevitably, it seemed like everything happened in like November 5th, 1955. Like when Biff goes back into the past, he goes back to November 5th, 1955, which is where they went in the first movie, which is probably where they went in the third movie. I don't remember. At some point. Anyway, and so what does Doc say in the second movie? He goes, well, it's like this is the center of the time, space-time continuum or whatever, or it's some crazy paradox. Everything kind of goes back to this one specific date. Well, everything in the Bible kind of goes back to this one specific psalm, and that is Psalm 23. It's probably the most overused psalm, and yet it's the most underrated psalm because we don't really fully grab a hold of the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. But the Lord is my shepherd because the Lord is my Abba. He's my daddy. And if we would grab a hold of that, I think that we would, wow, can you imagine what we would be fearless if we could grab a hold of the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. No matter what, there is no contingency. If you read that psalm, the Lord is only my shepherd if. It's not what it says. It says the Lord is my shepherd. Period. 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 The Lord is my shepherd. Period. Faith is rooted in love. And perfect love casts out fear. So what does your faith look like? Does it look like fear? Are you going to do the what ifs? What if this happens if I go do this? What if this happens if I go approach this person or I say this? Or what if this happens? Or is it faith? What if something really cool happens? What if because I was bold, what if God answers my prayer? What if because I was bold, God answers the prayers of many? What does your faith look like? Examine your heart. What's in your heart? What do you know? And by the way, test the waters. Do it. And you can say, if God comes at you and go, what the heck are you doing? You go, just Jason told me to. It's his fault. Test the waters. I'm telling you, test the waters. I promise you. If you would test the waters, if you would keep asking, if you would keep seeking, if you would keep knocking, the door shall be open and he will give. He will. That's how he rolls. That's his character. For I am convinced, this is the last scripture and I'll close. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you see anything in there that could possibly separate us from God's love? Say this one more time. Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. Let's pray. Abba, I confess that we belong to you. Regardless whatever we've done, regardless whatever we're going to do, regardless what we say, regardless how we act, we belong to you. And I thank you that we can move forward without fear. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't take that, though, and be irresponsible with that, but that, Father, we would seek to walk in your love, seek to walk in your path, and seek to walk in your ways. And I pray, Father, that as we do that, that you would drive out that fear that's within us. And Father, that you would help us to replace it with faith. I believe, Lord, but help me in my unbelief. Abba, I belong to you. And I belong to you because you sent your son for us. I belong to you because your son went to the cross for me. And he poured out his blood for me. And he gave up his complete self for me so that I could belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. I just lift up all the people that are on our hearts right now, Father. I claim in the name of Jesus for their healing because I know it's in your will. I lift them up to you and I thank you that you have your hand on them. I thank you that you love us and you love them too. And Father, I pray that you would draw your people close to you this day. And Father, that we would not let go and that you would not let go. I know that you won't. And Father, I pray that you would help us to put the car in gear because I know it's so hard to drive a car that's not put into gear, that's left in neutral. Help us to put the car in gear so we can go. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to tell you this real quick story. So, how many of you ever been to a Mike's Car Wash? Okay, so typical Mike's Car Wash, you get in they ask you to pull forward, and they've got they got a track for each wheel, right, for each side, and then they've got these little like rollers that come up, and they keep your car in place or your whatever in place. Yeah. And you put the car in neutral, right? And you go through the wash. Well, there's a Mike's Car Wash in Fort Wayne on DuPont Road. And they have a completely different system. I don't know what it is about that. You drive on this track, but there's not those things that come up and keep your car in place or whatever. And so you're going through. You've got your car in neutral still. You're going through. And by the end of it, I went to wash my Jeep. By the end of it, you know the little green light that comes on and says go? So you put it into gear and go. It would not go into gear. I'm going, what? And I'm really trying to work it. I'm like, you can't put the brake on. What happens if you put the brake on? And so, yeah, but I ended up finally, I'm like, the guy behind me is probably thinking, God, this is stupid. But I literally put it in reverse and then put it back in dry. Finally got it to go. That was the scariest moment of my life. I'm just not going to lie to you on that one. Yeah, it happens. Oh, my God. I don't know. It must be the new track thing that they put in. But if you ever go to that, just know there's a chance of that happening. I promise you it's not just me. It's happened to other people. Anyway, whatever. Thank you guys for coming in today. Hey, before we go, Rick, will you pray for us and will you lift up Jim? Okay.